It's a Body Armor station takeover on ESPN Louisville. Body Armor, the official sports drink of March Madness.
You know what time it is.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Jason Anderson.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
Michigan State, they leapfrogged Kentucky by winning this game. They had so many great quad one wins. But at the same token, we thought Michigan State and Michigan would be on that two line once the weekend unfolded.
Abilene Christian
Sports of Louisville.
Having the right mindset going in is so important, especially in this league where, you know, you're going to get tested every single night. You know, you got good coaches, you got good players, good systems. And that's the challenge of it.
Felt like tonight, for whatever reason, didn't see the same team that we've had all year. A lot of the tougher games that we've won, we've been in tough spots. We've always had a very, very good energy level. We've always had a very, very communicated team. Team, you know, obviously prodding one another, plugging one another along as the game's going. We didn't even have that tonight.
What he brings to the table defensively is hard to replace, and that's why he's been inserted in the lineup. And I'm sure that's given him a jolt of energy. Conversely, I think it's helped Steve for whatever reason. I think it's settled him down. It's gotten us deeper into the game without him thinking about foul trouble. Been a good combination for us.
Come on, everybody.
You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
I'm able to pull something new out of Jason Anderson.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now,
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
11 inches is what they got.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
This is amazing.
Tuesday edition of The Zone, it's ESPN 680, 105.7. Jason Anderson with you, hanging out at the Troll Pub today. Troll Pub Tuesday with ESPN Louisville, your spot before and after all U of L men's basketball, women's basketball games, concerts. It is right next to the KFC Yum Center. Very convenient, very cool. The unique underground dining experience, over 25 HD TVs in the house. They've got the college football, when it's on, no longer. NFL football, which you know is coming up this weekend, Sunday, and they've got NBA games, college basketball, everything you want. It's down here at the Troll Pub. Great food, great drinks, great atmosphere is the spot here. And also, time to start thinking about the KFC Yum Center, the South Regional. ESPN Louisville partnering up with Troll Pub again to have a street party. We will be down here out on the street right across from the Yum Center on for Fan Fest, which is March 28th and 30th. On Washington Street, as Louisville is hosting the Yum Center, hosting the South Region, where, quite frankly, before the season started and during the Bahamas trip, I thought we would be hosting a street party that would include, at least in the bracket, whether or not it included Kentucky getting that far, but at least the bracket in the South, the number one team being Kentucky. That doesn't look like it is right now going to happen. It would take some... It would take Kentucky getting on a roll the rest of the season to be the number one seed in the South region. And as I said, even if they were, it doesn't mean they would make it there, but it kind of does because Cal makes it to the Sweet 16 every year, except for the NIT season and when they lost to Indiana in the round of 32 every other time he's been to the second weekend. So if he's a one or two seed, certainly if he's in the South region, he would have been a one seed. They'd be in the Sweet 16. Who knows what the rest of the season's going to be like. Certainly we will be here watching and keeping note and talking about it, and you can hang out and watch at the Troll Pub as well as the season progresses. Certainly some college basketball to get into as Kentucky is playing Georgia, the Bulldogs, the Fighting Tom Crean's, as Georgia, a home team, after losing to Auburn on the road. They beat Vanderbilt by 19 at home last Wednesday, almost a week ago. But it is a Georgia team that comes in number 89 in the KenPom rankings and doesn't necessarily do anything all that well. I guess they've got a decent free throw to field goal percentage rating, so that's good. Turnover percentage, though, it's a Tom Crean team. They turn the ball over a lot. That's what they do. And Kentucky has a lot of guys that get steals. One of those guys being Ashton Hankins. Emmanuel Quickley ends up with steals as well. And that looks like it's probably going to be the case tonight, I would guess. KenPom has it as a 5-point spread, which is interesting. Maybe that's just, you know, even Vegas having it that close maybe is just a lack of trust in Kentucky. Lack of trust in Kentucky to be able to pull away and keep that, I guess, margin throughout the game. But this is one where I would say I expect Kentucky to come out and play well and win. But, you know, the starts to the games haven't exactly been what you would write home to mom about. Kent Spencer is here hanging out with us for the first hour or so on ESPN 680 105.7. We're at the Troll Pub. Hi, Kent. How are you, sir?
Good, Jason. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate
it. This
place is nice. How often have you been into the Troll Pub?
You know, I've got three kids,
yep.
So not often.
So they're big fans of the Troll Pub.
Yeah,
they're the three kids.
They're huge fans.
A lot of draft for the kids. They got all the beers on draft. It's
they
cool.
Let daddy out on a random Saturday night all the time.
It's like, mommy, where's daddy? At the Troll Pub, kids.
Again.
You know where he's at. Hi, daddy. You at the Troll Pub? No, I was working. Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, my son, every time I leave, he goes, Daddy Radio? I'm like, no, I'm just going to go up to the store real quick. I'll be right back. Daddy Radio? No, I don't have to go to work, man.
You're
it's okay.
You're working again?
Again? You always work. God, no, I'm going to the Troll Pub. All right, I got to get away from the family. I just need a break. Give me 2 hours so I can watch the game with my friends. You don't have any friends. Yes, I know. Beer is my friend. Kent Spencer is down here. WHAS. Sportscaster of the year.
Co-sportscaster of the year for the state of Kentucky. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're still going to get
sportscaster of the year. Let's be honest. They accidentally wrote out Taylor, and then they felt bad, so they gave it Co, but it meant to be – it was Kent Spencer as the winner. We're going to be Kent Spencer, and then somebody made the mistake and wrote Taylor, and they're like, well, we can't take it back now. We got to save face somehow. Let's make them Co.
The thing about it is you may be co-sportscaster of the year, but they still hand out two trophies. So it doesn't matter. It's not likely you have to split the thing. You
but
take it for
say,
this month.
Does it say co-sportscaster of the year on it, or does it simply say Kentucky sportscaster of the year?
You know what? We're going to find out in June when we actually get the things.
Very good. Very good. I hope they accidentally give you Kent Taylor's, and they give him Kent Spencer's again, which makes sense. I mean, I'm known as Jason Alexander, so it happens all the time. I've got yearbooks. The only award I ever won in college was to Jason Alexander, which is fine. I've never been named Sportscaster of the Year, co or not. So I think you've got that one on me. So well done, Kent.
Well, that's
good job.
What
there.
Do they say? Sometimes the sun shines on a dog behind every now and then.
That's true.
Yeah,
that is absolutely true. And that's why Kent Taylor was co. and that is it. Now, who's the number one seed in the tournament? You guys can both be like, you know, Bill Self and Kansas have won the Big 12 14 times in a row, but they've been the number two seed in the tournament like three times over that stretch. So they're co-champions. So who's the one seed in the tournament?
I mean, I'll say this. While I'm probably better looking with better hair.
Probably.
He is older, and he has lived here his entire life except for when he was in school. So we're going to give him the number one overall seed.
But you the tournament victory. That's fine with me. We'll go with that one. Kent Spencer, WHAS, is our guest here. We'll talk with Mike DeCourcy coming up at 5 o'clock. Play a little buy or sell in the 4 o'clock hour. To get in contact with the show, 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. You can call in at 267-9680 as well. You can tweet the show at J680Anderson. What's your Twitter handle?
At WHAS11Kent.
Very easy, WHAS11Kent. You can tweet him the first hour if you want to as well. You can tweet Magic Mike, Magic underscore ESPN 680 for no other reason other than just to say hi. You can do that if you want to, if you so choose. If you got nothing else to do, follow Mike on Twitter. You'll see a lot of cool stuff about Magic the Gathering. And now Saints takes. Magic.
Oh, is he a huge Saints fan?
Diehard Bengals fan his entire life. Showed up in a Drew Brees jersey.
No. We talked about this over the past few weeks. The Saints have always been team number two.
This is so stupid. You have never once brought up. How long have you done the show, Magic?
Oh,
three years?
I brought up the Saints on several points. Remember when Teddy Bridgewater went down there? I specifically said, you know, as a Saints fan, I'm kind of happy about that.
You did not say as a Saints fan on the air. I would have roasted you at that point had you said that. And even if you did say it,
we talked about it off air. We didn't have to talk about it off the air. Yes, we
never talked. You're a liar. You are absolutely flat out lying, and I don't like that. I don't like liars. You know, I don't like skim milk and liars. You know why? Because skim milk.
Check
the
tag on the jersey. It's been around for a while.
That's fine. I mean, it can be somebody else's that you borrowed, your friends. Or you could have just been a Drew Brees fan. You like what he did for New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, you know?
Which is why I also like the team, yes.
This is my like old man get off the lawn
Please,
take.
I like those.
Because this is where I stand on everything. You have one team.
Thank you.
Period.
Thank you.
And in every sport, you have one team, and that's it. In fact, I don't even like when people go, well, you know, we need to do this and we need to. Wait a minute. Are you on the roster?
Hey.
No, you're not on the roster. Did you run sprints today? No. Would you? How much film did you watch?
Actually, I did.
So
I'm not watching film.
I'm not even a huge fan of that. But it's so you only have one team. Period. When they lose, it's over. Like for me, being a Bengals fan, I shut it down halfway through the season, and I started watching reruns of golf on the Golf Channel.
October 3rd is when Kent's like, you know, I feel like it's kind of done at this point.
Well, you know,
Kent,
it's
Kent,
a good run this year.
Kent,
it's over.
We got rid of Marvin. And
now all of a sudden it's
as a fan base.
So
wearing
a Saints jersey yesterday, today it's we with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
Okay, no,
but who's still around, Magic?
Everyone else that's the problem, exactly.
Mike Brown.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's
right.
What I'm saying. It's like we thought we had as a Bengals fan base. We thought we had that little shimmer of hope where it's like, Marvin, we appreciate everything you did, but now it's time for something else. And you look at what's happening in the offseason. The Bengals are going to blow this higher. We need to move on. We need to move on, man.
This was my opinion for many, many years, as everybody was like, it's time for Marvin to go, get him out of here. And I'm like,
oh, I loved Marvin. I wasn't.
But do you trust Mike Brown to go out and make the right hire a better hire? Because at least with Marvin Lewis, the Bengals every 2-3 years would at least make the playoffs.
The devil,
they'd lose in the first round, but they would challenge for the division. They would make the playoffs, so they would make the season interesting the whole entire time. With Mike Brown now, they're probably going to be at least a top 2 or 3 pick in the draft every year with him making this hire.
Come to New Orleans. It's always a party.
I mean, they went out and got the Rams. I mean, they're going to hire the Rams quarterbacks coach.
Who had an entire
plays.
Entire defensive staff already mapped out. And because the Bengals couldn't hire him, all of the guys that he said, let's go to Cincinnati, let's get this thing going, all of them got hired by other teams because the Bengals couldn't hire him. And it's already falling apart.
Kent, I mean,
super sweet.
Kent's right on the Brown side of it, because I was talking with Magic, and you know, I can't remember when we were talking about it. I'm like, you know, it was just, you know, Magic, I believe, was the producer when my team was like, you know, 2-14, and they had the number one pick when they took Eric Fisher, who couldn't block the very dead James Harrison in the divisional round a couple of years ago for the 2-point conversion that would have tied the game up, but he got a holding call on James Harrison, who at that time people didn't know actually did not have a pulse. But Eric,
he was
Fisher,
in
the number one
urn
overall
of
pick.
Ashes. I remember.
That's right. Yep. He was the number one overall pick, and he could not block a guy who was just rolled in an urn around the corner, and he got a holding penalty on him. But as we talked about before, and I'm like, look, they go and hire Andy Reid, they get John Dorsey. John Dorsey has Chris Ballard, and Mike Veach. And now Dorsey's in Cleveland, Ballard's in Indianapolis, Veach is now the GM of the Chiefs, and Andy Reid is balling. And I'm like, you never know what can happen. And he goes, hey, do you trust your owner? And I'm like, yeah, Clark Hunt's a – he goes, yeah, that's why. Good point, Magic.
No Bengals fan has ever trusted Mike Brown, no.
Point, counterpoint, you win. I apologize for what I just said about how things can turn around with a couple hires and the whole thing can start looking up. You're right. You've got Mike Brown.
Everything starts at the top.
That is exactly right. A fish rots from the head down, as they like to say. And with the Hunts running the team that I root for, I feel confident that they demand a little bit more than the Browns.
And it's nice to have Patrick Mahomes as
that
the quarterback.
Too. Well, that happens when you hire Andy Reid and John Dorsey and Ballard and all of those guys and Veach, who's the GM now, who fell in love with Pat Mahomes and sold him and then kept everything quiet so that nobody knew they were on Pat Mahomes, and they wanted people thinking they were going to take Deshaun Watson so they can trade in front of Houston and Arizona and those teams that were going to take Pat Mahomes. And then Dorsey's now with Baker Mayfield. And you got, again, Ballard with Andrew Luck and the Colts, and he's got like $700 million under the cap to work with, along with Andrew Luck. And the guy who fell in love with Pat Mahomes is the GM, and Andy Reid is still there. If you don't hire Andy Reid, then who knows where this is at? Like, he's demanding things from the GM. So people made fun of the Chiefs when they hired Andy Reid. Like, enjoy losing in the playoffs. I'm like, they're 2-14. You mean enjoy the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yes, I will enjoy the playoffs. That's exactly what I'm going to do for the first time in a while. I will enjoy that. They're 2-14. Okay. They had Todd Haley as their head coach. Need ice. He couldn't last the season with the Browns when he had Baker Mayfield.
As an offensive coordinator.
Yes. I mean, that gives you, when you hire the number one overall, or when you draft a quarterback in the first, that usually gives you some grace.
Yeah.
To not be fired four games into the season, you usually get a while before
they
blew
the whole thing up.
The whole thing. Hugh Jackson gone, Todd Haley, you're gone. Kitchens will move you into OC, and how about that? Now you get the head coach job. Fantastic. Good for you. So, yeah, a lot of things can change that quickly if you have faith
in the owner.
In the owner. And that much is understandable.
Moving
understandable.
On in the natty.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And Mike apparently has moved on to New Orleans.
Look, so. I'm still diehard on the Reds for reasons I can't fully explain, but I've seen enough of what the Bengals can do. Neither Cincinnati team has ever advanced in the playoffs as long as I've been alive. I need something, man. I need something here.
Put it on the Twitter poll if you can, the Fan Outfitters Twitter poll. Can you have two different teams you root for if they play in different conferences? I mean, the answer is no, but I want to see if anybody actually is on Magic's side. Where he's like, they're not in the AFC. So? Like, they're in the NFL.
Technically, that was Easy's point, but I'll take it in my favor.
It's not Cincinnati and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, where you're like, no, it's the Canadian Football League. That's different.
I'll say this. I believe Magic will win the poll. That's because there's so many people, in my opinion, doing it wrong. Take a stand, man.
Have a team.
Have a team.
Right, have
Take
one
a
team
stand.
And root for them. Come on, man.
I'm just saying. Geez. Saints were the closest team to where I grew up at, and I'm just saying, you know, if it's okay for Biscuit to support the Jets, I think it should be okay for me.
No, but Biscuit supports the Jets and only the Jets. He's not supporting the Jets and the Bengals and the Colts and the Titans.
If you believe in such things.
But he's only supporting the Jets. Like, that's it. He's not even one of those New Yorkers that are like, I'll take Jets and Giants. No. Pick a side.
Yeah.
You don't get both of them.
Yeah.
All right? And in L.A. now, you don't get Chargers
and Rams. The Valvanos get both of them. In baseball, they get both of them.
They don't root for the Yankees, and they don't root for the Giants.
Oh, Bob roots for the Yankees, too.
Bob pseudo roots for the Yankees. But I promise you, when Mets and Yankees play, he wants the Mets to sweep them and beat them by 100 every time they play. But the fact that the Yankees have New York in front of the mascot, the team name, is why he is okay if the Yankees win. But he's Mets and Jets. They're not Giants fan. Andy's a Giants fan. And only a Giants fan, Magic. It's just disappointing is what it is. It's just really disappointing, and I feel like I've lost a lot of faith and trust and respect, quite frankly, in Magic Mike. And gained more with Kent that he's on the same page, that take a stand. Take an absolute stand.
Now I'm really glad I showed up.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'll take a stand, but I ain't taking a stand with the Bengals. I've learned my lesson.
This is going to be a Final Four for Mike DeCourcy that I'm writing down. For later today on that, Magic. I have a feeling you're going to be wrong on that one, too.
Mike roots for the Steelers and the Seahawks and also the Broncos.
No, he doesn't. He's a Steelers fan. That's it. And he moved to Indianapolis. He's not a Steelers and Colts fan.
And he lived in Cincinnati for a really long time.
And he hates the Bengals.
And was just a Steelers fan.
And he hates the Bengals.
Which don't get me wrong. I don't like him, but I respect it.
Don't like him, but I respect him.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Which I could say, do a lot of people feel like that around Duke? And K, that you don't like him, but do you respect K? Do you respect from that perspective? I bring that up because it's the only thing I can think of as a segue to last night with Duke losing at home to Syracuse. And even Pitt beating Florida State, by the way, which certainly helps Louisville as I want to talk some college basketball. They lose last night. They have no Trey Jones who messes up his shoulder, and that thing could be a while or even the season. We'll see when that guy comes back. You know, at this point, I would just count on Trey Jones not being there until he dresses in a Duke uniform again. And then Cam Reddish is under the weather, so he doesn't play at all. So they've got R.J. Barrett, and they've got Zion Williamson, and they lose to Syracuse at home, a team that's now, 9-5, a team that is undefeated on the road, and all five losses are at home in neutral sites. They haven't lost a game on the road yet. A true road game for Syracuse, they have yet to lose, including Duke. And so my view, and Ken, I'm curious to what you think about this, like Duke is viewed last night as, well, you know, Trey Jones goes down, Cam Reddish isn't playing. Is there a sort of take it with a grain of salt that they lost that game to Syracuse? Or is it, nah, man, there's no excuses. Duke lost at home to a Syracuse team that isn't that good, whether they had Cam Reddish or half of, Trey Jones in the game. You find a way with R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson to beat a Syracuse team that might have a couple good players. But, again, you're Duke, and you're one of the teams people thought at one point would go undefeated.
You know what? I would say this. If they just lost Reddish to illness, right before the game, that's really not that big of a deal. You should be able to to gather your pieces and go and take care of business, especially at home. I would imagine the Trey Jones injury for them had some psychological stuff going on, because clearly that's a very serious injury. And I think all of those guys on that floor, they saw that injury, and they knew the kid ain't just going to rub some dirt on it and come back in the game. You know what I mean?
Like, although if they had dirt on the sideline ready to go to rub on it just in case.
That would be fantastic.
They should from now on.
But I would imagine a lot of those guys, they saw that injury and said, oh, no. Because everybody around that program will tell you this. Zion's amazing. R.J. Barrett's amazing. But Trey Jones is the straw that stirs that drink.
Yeah.
Just because the way that he runs the show, with the way that he pressures the ball defensively. So I would imagine that probably had a big-time effect on that team moving forward. And to be quite honest with you, down the stretch, the only way that they were able to score is to get it to Zion in the middle of that zone and kind of let him go to work. Mm-hmm. But it was tough for them to do that, because why? They don't have a point guard.
They took 43 threes.
Yeah.
I mean, and they made, like, I don't know, negative two.
And that's settling because you don't have somebody that's that's properly running the show.
But I would say if R.J. Barrett is viewed the way that he is, I feel like he should be able to maneuver a zone from time to time and not just settle for threes over and over again and take, what, 30 shots
in the game. But my man loves to pull.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. He just isn't very good at it.
Yeah. But he loves to pull. And I think that's why when the ball is in his hands, and you're right, he should be good enough to be able to kind of get others involved and kind of let the game. But that's not his game. His game is to attack, period. Without Trey Jones, you know, Trey Jones can limit all the attacking that R.J. Barrett does because he can spread it out a little bit. But now if the ball's in R.J.'s hands, man, you ain't getting a shot unless I want you to get a shot.
And now I'm sort of curious as Duke moves forward if this is now a team that's going to see, as long as Trey Jones is out, is going to see a lot of zone. I mean, good luck without Trey Jones against Virginia. They don't play the zone. They play the pack line. But you can't get inside to the lane. You can't get inside the arc. And they make you take bad threes. And they've got Virginia on Saturday. Trey Jones ain't playing. Reddish can play so we can knock down some shots. But again, Virginia, even though they give up a lot of three-pointers, they don't give up three-pointers at a high percentage in which they go in.
In my opinion about Duke, that's when you really watch them. It's not what happened against Syracuse. Like, that doesn't really tell me anything. That just that happened. They lost. You know, that they had a lot of things going against them. It's what happens against Virginia. It's what happens in the game after that. How are they going to play without Trey Jones moving forward? Because you're going to have Cam Reddish back. Now I really start watching Duke with a much closer eye.
No, that's a good point. And the one thing I would say, too, is if there's, you know, excuses or not excuses, or sort of viewing it, you know, differently rather than just a home loss to Syracuse because those guys didn't play. My view is, you know, if something happens to where somebody gets injured in a team or on a team and they've got other guys to back them up, we'd give credit to a coach. Like, if a coach builds a really good roster, like, we give credit to Coach K and Capel that these guys he landed. He got the top three guys. He got what could be, you know, top three picks in the NBA draft. And he got Trey Jones, which is helped that he got Tyus Jones before. My view is you built this roster. You built the roster that is essentially three guys and everybody else. And I know Trey Jones is different in terms of shot percentage and usage rate. Like, he's a defensive player. He's the straw that stirs the drink. He's all of those things. But R.J. Barrett usage rate is 33%. Cam Reddish is 29%. Zion Williamson is 28.7%. And to put that into perspective, and that's it. After that, it's Alex O'Connell is the next in line of the shot or the usage rate, and that's at 16%. To put that into perspective, last year, Bagley was 26, Wendell Carter was 23, Trey Duvall was 21, Grayson Allen was 21, Gary Trent Jr. was 20. That's 5 guys that are 20 or higher. Duke now has 3 that are almost 30%, and then nobody else. And you have to go back to Jabari Parker to find anybody on Duke that has a higher usage rate than what the third guy on Duke is right now, which is Zion Williamson. So he's built a roster that is 3 and everybody else. So he's created it to where if one guy goes down, you're playing behind the 8 ball. Two of those guys go down, you've essentially got no shot because your entire team is based on those three guys' usage rate. When they're in the game, they've got the ball.
No, and I would imagine the recruiting process, they went through that and they said, you know what, we can get Zion Williamson, or we can probably get two guys that are really good, have more depth, or we can go after that guy.
Right, I agree.
And it's probably the same way with Cam Reddish. So I would imagine when they went into the season behind closed doors, Kay has probably looked around and said, look, we've got 4 dudes.
How much money do we have?
That's what we're built around. We're built around these 4 guys. And if anybody goes down, we're going to be in trouble. But you know what? Like, this is the juice for them at this moment was worth the squeeze.
Yeah, so risk reward. Risk reward. What is the cost benefit to that? If you can bring those four guys in, as opposed to Zion going to Clemson or UK and getting a couple of other guys there, you're right about that. But the excuses that might be there about, well, a guy gets injured, that's the dice you roll. That's the game you're playing. That's the risk you're taking. And so I will take it with a grain of salt to some degree, but you've built a roster that's based on three players, and then Trey Jones, a really good point guard freshman. And in that game, you didn't have one of the top three. You didn't have Reddish. Second half against Florida State, they didn't have Zion, and they found a way to win that game. Now they had Trey Jones, but they found a way to win that game in the second half against Florida State. Zion didn't play a second in that second half, and they got a win. And Cam Reddish hit the big three because apparently Florida State doesn't know that you should guard one of the best shooters on that team on an inbound, and they let him just stand alone with nobody within 10 feet. And so they got that win without Zion there. And so if that's the case, now they lose at home without Cam Reddish and Trey Jones for a good portion of that one. I don't know how much I'm going to give benefit of the doubt and sort of excuse it away and say, well, you know, those guys were injured, it sucks, and we should not really look at that as a loss or anything like that.
In 3 or 4 years down the road, if Duke doesn't win the national championship this year, because obviously they're loaded with those freshmen and those talented pieces, this will be deemed as a failure. It won't be deemed as, man, they just kind of got unlucky because a couple dudes got hurt. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how we look at things. Like, when you separate yourself years down the line, they will be viewed as a team that should have won it all, and they didn't.
And I do wonder if this is the year. Because K's got 5 championships, okay? He's the greatest of all time as a coach. And should also point out, because we've joked about it before, and it sucks for UK fans and Cal, and that the last 2 championships for K, you thought UK was winning that one. 2010 with the John Wall team, you thought UK was going to win it. If UK plays Butler, I think they win that game as well. Instead, Duke cuts down the nets. And in 15 with the 38-0 team, you thought they were going to win it. Wisconsin waits an entire year to get that shot. Sam Decker goes off, and then they go and lose to Duke on Monday night. And so K's got a couple championships there, but he's got 5 of them. But those are the only 2 years he's made the Final Four since 2004, 2005, one of those years. He's made the Final Four twice in the last 12, 13 years. He just happened to cut down the nets both times he went there. He's the opposite Tom Izzo. Izzo goes to the Final Four every other year, just doesn't win it. K goes there twice in the last 12, 13 years. He just wins those. And I think this year, if he doesn't win with this team, I think you start to look at him a little bit more into the way people view Cal and say, well, he's underachieved with all the talent that he's had. Okay, he's only won one championship with the talent that he's had. Well, he's been there since 10. Okay. Since 10, K got the championship in 10, but since he started getting all this talent, the one-and-done players, he's got one in 15. Does he get another one this year? And if not, are we starting to view K and say, well, he's underachieved with all the crazy talent that he's had. Is this the year to where we finally sort of view it differently instead of just deferring and go, man, he's got 5 championships, okay? He's won the damn thing 5 times, and he's been to how many different Final Fours and crazy good teams throughout his career?
You know, probably not. I mean, he'll probably still have the 5 championships, and that's just how it'll be viewed. But, I mean, I think everybody, when they see Duke, I mean, they obviously see him as a guy who's won 5 times, but they also see him as, you know, he has, in my view, the way I look at Duke is they're the most likely team to get bounced in the round of, 32?
He's got some scars there, too.
He'll get bounced early every now and then, and he'll do that against, I mean, when Jabari Parker was there, and that team that they had
there. Was that Lehigh they lost to?
It was either that, or didn't they lose to Mercer once?
Oh, yeah, it was Mercer they lost to.
Yeah, I think it was Mercer.
And Lehigh was the Kyrie Irving team that he came back after the broken foot.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's had chances that you know, he's gone to the tournament and he's gotten bounced early. But when you win it 5 times, that generally erases a lot of people's memories.
Yeah. Hanging out with Kent Spencer here, 267-9680 is the phone number, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Texter says, Wooden's the GOAT. He won a lot of championships, but also if you won your conference, you were like in the Final Four at that point. So what? Maybe Sam Gilbert's the GOAT. I'm not sure. We're looking at that. Text at 437-9680. Do we put too much emphasis on the results of one game? Do we set up criteria or standards for teams that are fair? I.e., if UK doesn't beat you, Georgia, they are terrible and have no hope. It's unpredictability. Is an unpredictability the fun of college basketball?
I think it is, but I think we view teams differently than some others. I think there is a group of teams, and I don't know how many that would be. I mean, I think we can go through and sort of, you know, come to some sort of a, you know, reasonable minds agreeing or disagreeing as to how many teams you say could legitimately win the national championship this year. I think Duke is one of them. I don't know after that. Because, I mean, like Virginia, UMBC, I'm not going to – there's going to be a long time before I get that out of my memory. Like, well, look, they're going to have to make a run through the tournament. Michigan State, they played pretty well. I saw them at Louisville, and I saw them struggle, and so maybe that's, you know, sort of – you know, it sort of blazes in my memory right now that I just can't get that out of my head. Gonzaga, you know, they got Killian Tilly back, so that helps. They didn't have him against North Carolina when they lost by a pretty good margin. Tennessee, I just – again, they're good. It's a solid team. But do they have one player that's, you know, an NBA top 15 lottery pick that you go, he's going to take over a game? Because, well, ultimately talent starts to win out.
Well, also, winning in the regular season is one thing. Winning in the postseason is different. You know, Tennessee is a really good team. They're a veteran team. They've got a lot of guys on that team that can hurt you. But do you trust them in an Elite Eight game to not have the nerves, even though they're a veteran team?
Right.
Haven't been on that stage. Do you trust them in the Final Four? You know, those kind of programs that – are hovering around that have made a jump this year that are in the conversation, you know, when it becomes winning time, do you trust them to be able to get it done?
Yeah, and the look, the NCAA tournament could be incredibly crazy this year. And I know there's times where we say that all the time. Like, I know this year we're going to say it's a really soft bubble, and we say that every year. But if you go through, like, these are the top 20 KenPom teams: Virginia, Duke, Michigan State, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Michigan, Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, North Carolina, Kansas, Nebraska, Auburn, Nevada, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Purdue, Iowa State, Buffalo, Maryland, Oklahoma. Like, how many of those do you pick out and go, yeah, I think that team has a real legitimate chance of winning a national championship? Virginia would be one of them, again, if it wasn't for losing in the first round last year. And it's a different year. I get all that. Duke, as we just talked about, has the best chance, but they are essentially three guys and Trey Jones, but three guys are their entire offense. And if one of them goes down, if Reddish is sick, or if Zion has a sprained ankle, or if R.J. Barrett, you know, takes 30 shots to score 21 in a game, like, there's ways that you can see Duke getting bounced. And against the zone, like, they're already a struggling three-point shooting team, and against the zone, they shoot 43 of them, and they make, like, nine. Michigan State, I mean, yeah, I mean, I could see them just because I can see them getting to the Final Four, but not winning it. Gonzaga, I can certainly see that because Mark Few was on the cusp of winning a national championship a couple of years ago. Tennessee, I mean, I don't know. Michigan, certainly. Michigan's a team. They played in the national championship last year, so yeah. Virginia Tech, no. Texas Tech, no. North Carolina is so hot and cold. Can they win six in a row? I doubt it.
Can they shoot it well enough from the outside?
North Carolina?
Yes. To win six straight games, or can they however get, many games.
See, to me, can seven, they get six. Consistent enough guard play? Because Roy's guards have always been good, and Colby White is a turnover machine, and Seventh Woods is just there.
And you
like,
know
he's
what?
A nice college point guard, but he's not the Roy Williams point guards that have helped him, Joel Berry and Marcus Page and guys like that, that have helped him win national championships.
And they do not have the front court play that Roy Williams is used to them having in recent years. Like, they're so perimeter-dominated. And I just don't know if they shoot it well consistently enough to be able to make a run. I don't trust North Carolina.
And now Kansas without Azubuike. Like, I don't know how much I trust Kansas. Although they pulled the red shirt off of one of the guys that everybody's glowing about now. But I don't know how great and a difference maker that guy could be if you were going to redshirt him at Kansas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how much of a difference maker is that guy? It's like, we pulled the red shirt off. Like, this isn't college football. Like, you didn't pull the red shirt off the number one high school quarterback in the nation. And back in the day where you played one snap and you lose a red shirt, it's like, we pulled the red shirt off him. Well, now they're going to go to the national championship. Like,
you don't lose Azubuike, pull the red shirt and get better.
Right. It's like, no, this guy's really good. Well, then why was he redshirting? If he was so good to make a difference, I'm assuming Bill Self ain't just sitting there going, no, he's awesome, but he's so good, let me redshirt him and get four more years out of him. If he's so good, he's going to be gone soon.
Here's that process. For a lot of folks that, you know, cover teams or cover recruiting, you know, when anybody signs, I always say National Signing Day, especially in football, every team got exactly who they wanted. There are no weaknesses whatsoever. In typical fashion, when you sign somebody on your basketball team, they're amazing and they're going to be amazing. Their ceiling is immense. That's exactly what you're talking about with Kansas right now and how that player is being viewed.
His name is, I'm going to butcher this. I know it's Okai Agbaji, O-C-H-A-I. So is that chai latte, like a chai a tea? And Agbaji, A-G-B-A-J-I, is the name. 6'5", 210 freshman, power forward. They pulled the red shirt off of him for the TCU game at home. He scored 7, went 3 of 5 from the field, had 4 rebounds, an assist, a block, 2 steals. Against Baylor on the road, they win by 5. He had 10 points. He was 4 of 5 from the field, had 3 rebounds and a steal. And against Texas at home, in which they won by 2, he had 4 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, and 1 steal. So he scored a total of 21 points in 3 games, so averaging about 7 points per game. That's not to replace Azubuike. So what you're saying is if you lose Azubuike, you replace him with a 6'5 guy? Well, now Kansas is going to look like what they did last year when they were smaller and they would have to either go big or go small. What do we do? And against Villanova, they got eaten up.
Villanova. You told me everything I needed to know when you said he's a 6'5", 210-pound power forward.
That's a good point. Yes, at least that's what he's listed as. I don't know if that's what he's playing.
It'd be a different story if he was a 6'5", 210-pound shooting guard.
That's right. 6'5", 210, listed as a power forward for Kansas. But now, I mean, they've got, look, Dedrick Lawson is a baller. We know that. They've got Grimes and Garrett and Vic and Dodson. Those guys are all 6'5 and shorter. So they are 6'2", 6'5", 6'5", 6'5", 6'9".
I mean,
without Azubuike. So, like, if I'm going through, like, the teams that I'm like, these teams can win a national championship, Kansas is now, who knows? Nebraska, of course, they've never won an NCAA tournament game. Auburn, I mean, no. Nevada, no. I mean, that's just a team that's going to run around and they're like Loyola Marymount. It's just go and play. It's just backyard basketball. Like, that's not going to win in the tournament. And Loyola Chicago coached them and techniqued them, you know, till they were dead. They came out and played, you know, Nevada basketball for the first 10 minutes and were making shots everywhere. And then Loyola was like, all right, calm down. Pivot. Triple threat. Inbounds. Slide to the corner. If they dig, kick it out. Drop step. Head and shoulder fake. And Nevada's running all over the court. And they ultimately ran away from Nevada there. Wisconsin, no. Kentucky's got the talent, but who knows? Purdue is one player in Carson Edwards, it seems like. Iowa State, no. Buffalo, no. Maryland, no. Oklahoma, no. I mean, those are the teams that are the top 20. So, I mean, I'm looking at, like, this year, if Kay and Duke don't win it, like, to me, it's extremely, like, disappointing. Like, how can you, in a year like this where you're looking and saying, is there a team that can maybe be great? Like, there's good teams right now. Can they grow into be great teams? And you've got Duke with the 1, 2, 3, you know, first-round picks in the NBA draft, potentially on their team.
Duke is the only, I think, team out there that has the potential to be great. I think everybody else can be really, really good. And I still think, like, the teams that you listed on that list that could win it all, I mean, there's probably, to be quite honest, there's probably 10 teams.
That could win it all?
Yeah, that have a chance because...
But it's not the traditional teams that we're used to seeing that were like, okay, you're going to see, you know, Duke and North Carolina and Kentucky and Louisville and Michigan State and Kansas and Arizona.
But out of those 10 teams that could win it all that I say that, there are a lot of question marks on every one of those teams.
Right.
Like, there's something that, you know, you don't look at it and say, man, the champion's going to come out. Like, remember that year when it was... Duke won the national championship. Wisconsin beat Kentucky in the Final Four.
So 15.
Everybody knew going into that, 3 teams had a chance to win it all.
That's right.
And that was it.
You're right.
And guess what? We talked about that in November.
Yeah, you're right. It was Kentucky, and then maybe a gap, and then Duke, and maybe not even a gap because Duke had the freshman in Okafor, and they had Justice Winslow, and they had we didn't know about Grayson out that, but Tyus Jones, and then
Winslow. Justice Winslow.
But the point guard that is now with the Warriors played in the D League, and now he was up with the Warriors as well. But you guys know who I'm talking about. But they had him as well, so it was like maybe it wasn't a gap in Wisconsin. But there was clearly a gap between those three and everybody else in 2015. And as it turned out, 3 of the 4 Final Four teams were that. And the national championship was 2 of those 3 teams, and Duke ends up winning it. And you would say the best 3 teams in the country after the tournament were the best 3 teams in the country that we thought in December, December.
100%. So that's why I say, like, I think maybe, like, there's 10, 12 teams, or, you know, maybe not 12, but at least 10 teams that can win it all. But everybody's got so many and Duke now has a question mark with Trey Jones going down. So, yeah. I mean, they've got – everybody's got some warts.
Yeah. 267-9680 is the phone number, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. The Twitter poll is out there. Can you root for two NFL teams if they are in different conferences? I'm clearly voting no. 58-42. Now, there's only 31 votes, so it's very early into the process. Only 1% of the precincts reporting right now, okay? But the fact that it's even 42% that are saying you can have two different favorite teams to root for, you're right about that, Ken. I thought it was going to be a wide margin, and you said it was going to be close.
Yeah, no, no. In fact, I think the yeses are going to end up winning this thing.
Yeah.
But I'm a hard no.
I'm with you. Texter 437-9680. Duke's downfall is going to be the three-point shooting like 2010 UK. They rarely have more than one good outside shooter on the floor at a time. And also in that game, you know, last night, what did Jack White go 0 for 10 in that game from three?
I respected the fact that he wasn't shy.
You know what? Shooter shoot. Shooter shoot. Just keep pulling, man. You know what? You know who's not there? Cam Reddish. He's not there to shoot. You do it, Jack White. Be you, all right? Do what you got to do, brother. Represent the white delegation, all right? You've got to just – you're out there to shoot, like McMahon. All right, stop with the – you know, you're sort of looking at – I get it. Looking at the basket, that's fine. I'll go a different way. Stop with the not finding Ryan McMahon if he's in the game. If he's in the game throwing the ball, because there's only one reason he's in the game, and that is to shoot. And Chris Mack is right. If he looks at the basket, the defense immediately reacts.
Yes.
Okay? He can head and shoulder fake. He can knock it down. If you've got a step, step and a half, McMahon, shoot the three. Shoot the three. You know, just I don't care every time. Against Pittsburgh, those two threes he shot in overtime, I was fine with them.
No.
They
were good shots. In fact, when he – every time that he shot them, I mean, if you watched them, they both looked like they were going in.
Both of them. And especially the like, what was it, a few minutes earlier in regulation when he took a shot from that exact same spot and missed it. The very next possession, he took the same shot and buried it. So he did that again in overtime, takes a shot, missed with it. Very same shot next time. I'm like, he's going to make that. He didn't. I would take my chances with that.
You know
that.
The thing with Ryan McMahon over his time at Louisville? He's really kind of proved, and not everybody's this way. A lot of people can average a ton of points, but, you know, when it comes time to crunch time, you know, they kind of fade away from the moment a little bit. He doesn't. You know, if you look at his career at Louisville, he's made plays when they've needed him to make plays down the stretch of games.
And he's hit free throws,
yeah.
You know, throughout his career, you know, except for – was he one of those that missed the free throw against Virginia? I think he missed one free throw, one or two free throws against Virginia down the stretch that, you know, could have been a big win that resulted in not a big win, resulted in a crazy loss.
I will say this about last year.
But against Michigan State, he was phenomenal from the free throw line.
And that Virginia game, I will always say this, McMahon, especially Dangadel after the game, because that was, you know, they still had an open locker room back then. Dangadel came down, sat at his locker, and he asked every question at the end, and he did it with his head held high, yeah. And it was I gained so much respect for that young man in that moment. And then Ryan McMahon, all season long, wins, losses, tough things. Yeah. I mean, he always just sat at his locker and he answered every question, and he did it with thought, and I got a tremendous amount of respect for both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dangadel could have hit, and I don't know that Dangadel would have been brought to the podium in this sort of new rule in the way that they go about the media post game.
Yeah.
Dangadel's not sitting at the podium taking questions. I don't think he is. I think other guys are there to do that. 267-9680, Kent Spencer hanging out with us from WHAS, the sportscaster of the year. You can say co if you want to, but let's be honest, sportscaster of the year. With Louisville beating North Carolina, is it now expected tournament? Because after Pitt, I'm like, I don't know. If they make it, they make it. You know, maybe it's pacing. They've regressed towards an NIT. Is it now one game to the next? Now they beat North Carolina. Is it now you're expecting them to make the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. After that, I think that they'll make the NCAA tournament. I always said this before the year. If they're in the conversation to make the NCAA tournament before the season, I said I think that's a successful year for them. Just put yourself in the conversation. And I think that'd be a great thing for them and that program moving forward. But here's what everybody saw after that North Carolina. They saw what this team is capable of, because and that is you're capable of giving that kind of effort. You're, you know, to play that way defensively moving forward. So I think there's a lot of teams, you know, maybe there's one or two teams that they may not be able to beat on their schedule, but everybody else, I think they're fully capable of at least having a chance to win those games. And maybe I didn't think that before the North Carolina game.
Well, I mean, I'm with you on that one. When you see the schedule, and I'm like, look, they're not going to beat North Carolina. I said on Friday, one out of five, maybe one out of six times they play, they would win. That could still be the case. They're not going to play five or six more times at North Carolina. But even if it was one out of six, they took advantage of the one. But still, they got the win, and the way they played, they completely dominated North Carolina. And now you look at it and you're like, okay, North Carolina, they get them at home. Well, if you beat them by 21 on the road, you would think you would have an opportunity to win at home against North Carolina. Duke, they get at home. And again, that's a month from now. Is Trey Jones' injury, does it keep him out a month? Is it a four-week injury? Does it a five-week injury? Is he still there? I don't know. We'll see what Duke looks like at that time. At Florida State, I mean, who knows about at Florida State? They just lost at Pitt last night. That comes off them blowing the game against Duke. You know, there's other games on the schedule. You'd say Syracuse on the road, but Syracuse isn't that good at home this year. they're amazing on the, they're the Chargers. They win on the road and lose at home. That's what Syracuse is.
I mean, I think in the ACC, I think there are, you know, there are a lot of good teams, but there are a lot of teams that are a little Jekyll and Hyde. It's a little bit of a roller coaster ride, and I think for Louisville fans, I think they should be, you know, as good as that.
But Louisville's
going
to be that roller coaster ride too.
Yes, they're going to be up and down. Like Saturday at North Carolina, I don't know if they can sustain that through a whole season. I mean, I think they're still going to have their times at Pitt,
right?
This year, I fully expect that. So it's just going to be, you know, when do you have those good moments and when do you have those bad moments? Because you don't want too many of those at Pitt losses.
Hanging out on ESPN 680 105.7, Jason Anderson with you. We are at the Troll Pub today. Very cool spot to come down and hang out and watch a game. And it's right next to the KFC Yum Center as UofL women's, UofL men's going on at the Yum Center. You can come down and check out pregame or postgame as well. And if you are in a hurry or you're not going to be maybe around the house that night or the opportunity maybe to run by the store, the convenience of pickup at Kroger, look, it's one of the things that the wife and I do all the time, and that is Kroger pickup. It is saved time for us. I'll tell you that much. Look, I've told the story about, you know, I get home at like 6:30 at night because I'm on the air till 6. The boy goes to bed at 8 o'clock. So that means 7:40, you're going through bath, you're doing the pajamas, you're doing the brushing the teeth, you're reading the books. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into just simply going to bed. So that gives me like an hour to hang out with the boy, and having the Kroger pickup means that I'm not on the ride home, and the wife's going, hey, can you stop by and get this and this and this and this? She'll put it into the system, into the computer, and I can run by, stop by. They'll put it in the car and head home. It's the ease of selecting the product. And I found out last week, and I did not know this. I don't know if you knew this, Kent, that if you are part of the Kroger pickers, like those that go around and actually bag the groceries for you, that's part of the pickup. They're trained in produce to see what is ripe, what is good, what is exactly the sort of vegetable or fruit that you're looking for. So if you're like me and you don't know what exactly the ripe tomato looks like, well, this looks pretty good. That one's a little pale. This one's pretty red. I think that's good to go. I'm going to go with this one. I don't know. And I think I'm pretty decent with avocados. Like, they're trained to do that. So they actually go through the
So they're going to pick out a better avocado or a banana than you would.
Exactly.
I'm in.
That's the point. And I didn't know that either. Not only that, like, if you go to the grocery store, you go to Kroger, and you're like, hey, I want to get green bananas. And you go there, and there's not green bananas there. And you're like, oh, well, that sucks. I guess I'll get the next closest thing. Well, they've got a bunch of stuff that's still in the, in the fridge and in the back. Like, they've got the green bananas there. So the Kroger, pickers are going to go in there, going to grab the green bananas. They're going to know which ones are the best. And so it's one of the reasons why we use that. I didn't realize that was going on. They also pick out the steaks with the butcher in the meat department. So it's not just they go and just grab a steak for it. Yeah, I want a ribeye. Boom, here's a ribeye. They go to the meat department and say, all right, this is what they're looking for, the ounces, the cut, what's the best one here, and can you – and it's done, and they do that. So it's phenomenal. I don't know that many people may know that about pickup with Kroger is being able to get – someone that is trained. I'm not trained on knowing what the produce looks like, knowing what it is. And although also the product they're out of, they give you free upgrade. If you get something on the list and they don't have it, free upgrade. They'll get you something better for the same price. So go to Kroger.com, create your account, find out the ease of shopping, the time you get back in your life. at Kroger.com or the Kroger app. You can check those things out and see how cool it is. Also, delivery as well, but very easy way to shop now, saving me time, and I don't have to walk up and down seven aisles to find one spice that my wife was looking. Panko breadcrumbs. Where the hell are the panko breadcrumbs? Why are they not? You would think the panko breadcrumbs would be right here. You know where they are? They're in the trunk when they bag it and drop it off when I go and pick it up. That's where they are. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back, continue rolling, wrap up this first hour on ESPN 680 105.
It's a Body Armor station takeover on ESPN Louisville. Body Armor, the official sports drink of March Madness.